And turning your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. We are thankful again to be here. I know it's just a few of us, and I don't plan on keeping us an awful long time tonight. Just got a very simple thought, and it really is a continuation of what I preached on this morning. But I felt like just didn't quite get it all said this morning, so the Lord brought me back here again tonight. Luke chapter 8. We'll begin reading with verse 26. Luke chapter 8 and verse 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command him to go out into the deep. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus, and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to thine own house and show how great things God has done unto thee." And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. We're going to cease reading here tonight. This is a picture of absolute, total Christian compassion. And I say Christian because we are to be Christ-like. And so when we see Christ do something, that's what we are to do. Once we're saved, we are to live like Christ. We're to be ye holy, even as Father which is in heaven is holy. And the way that we do that is by striving to be like Jesus. That's how we come by the name of Christian. It's not because we're religious. It's not because we go somewhere as a steeple or, you know, somewhere that gathers and calls himself a church. But we are Christian because, first of all, we're saved, but to be Christ-like. And so this is a picture of complete compassion. Jesus said he came into this world to save sinners. He came in this world to save sinners. Well, by doing that, he came in this world and he established his church. He went to the cross. He paid the price. He paid the sin debt, but he left the church here so that we could share Jesus with the world. And so Jesus came to save sinners. He left us here so we could reach sinners. Sinners, period. And it's real easy for us to get in our mind what type of people we want to be around, what type of people we want coming to church, what type of people we like to associate with, but that's not how Jesus did things. Not just, he didn't come to save just the real good sinners, and he didn't come to save just the real bad sinners. He came to save sinners. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. So when Jesus came in the world, he came in the world so that I could be saved. When I look back at what type of sinner I was, you know, the Lord saved me whenever I was still just a very small youngin' child. And so I hadn't had an opportunity, and I had good parents that kept me away from a lot of stuff. I didn't go out and do just a lot of what we think of as gross sin. I didn't go roll around in the gutters of sin, but I was still just as much a sinner as anybody else in the world. Paul made a statement. He was chief of sinners, and so I feel the same way. The chiefest of sinners. And so we need to have that attitude. I feel like Clear Branch does, but we need to have it, you know, times two or times ten. Because the Lord has left us here, and I believe He wants us to have the mindset, just like He did, to go after sinners. What I want to draw our attention to tonight is simply this. When we see chaos, Jesus sees opportunity. Whenever you look at this man, listen at how he was described. He said, "What is thy name?" Well, we're legion because many devils were entered into him. Those devils communicated with Jesus. And he said, "Well, we don't see things quite like that anymore." But Jesus had authority. And those demons, those devils, they understood who Jesus was. They recognized him. This is the Son of God. And so they said, "If you come to torment me before our time," and they said, "Don't send us out into the deep." Now, there's a lot of that, Brother Joe. I don't understand it. What exactly are they talking about? Don't send us out into the deep. Don't torment us before our time. I know we could do a study on that, but I don't feel led to go in that way, that direction tonight. But rather, they said, "There's some swine. Send us into those swine." And when all of these devils that were in this one man went into a whole herd of swine, the swine ran violently down a hill and choked themselves, went and killed themselves because they could not handle what this man was possessed with. They couldn't handle it. It was too much for a whole herd. Again, there's some of that I don't completely understand. But it's enough that I can look at this man and by faith see him and kind of make him out, what kind of man he was. Brother Joey, you probably might see a few people about like this man right here. And we look and say, "Well, are they possessed with devils like this man was?" Very possible. I believe the Bible tells us, he said, "Try the spirit, see if they have God or not." And so there's a lot of people that are being led by spirits that are not of God. And so when I see this man, this is a scary scene to the untrained, doubtful eye. It's a very scary scene because, well, he's naked. He's crazy. He don't really communicate well. His social skills are all terrible. He's been no doubt arrested, it would seem, at least maybe a mob went and grabbed him and tried to bind him up. "We're just going to tie him, don't know what to do with him, we'll just tie him up." But they were not able to do that. He broke the fetters that they put on. So whenever I think about that, I think about somebody like that being in our neighborhood. Somebody like that being, you know, my neighbor. And he's a very strong man. If you're able to break fetters, you're able to break bonds that somebody has placed upon you. There's no doubt, even if it's the spirits that's making him that way, he's a very strong man. So, but he no doubt could hurt somebody. You know, if I saw somebody like that, what your first thought was, what kind of damage could he inflict upon me? There's some that maybe get on drugs and seem like got superhuman strength. And we look at them, I'm scared of that. I'm scared to death of somebody like that. And we try to stay away from that. And in no way, I don't want to get the wrong idea. I'm not trying to set anybody up to go get hurt. But Jesus didn't focus on the nakedness. Jesus didn't focus on his bloody cuts on his naked body. he didn't focus on the wild chaos that seemed to be in this man. Jesus saw a troubled man in need of help. Now, you've heard of somebody say, looking at life through rose-colored glasses. What if we were, and what that means is some people just see positive in everything, regardless of the situation. And I'm not trying to get us to see through rose-colored glasses now, but what if this? What if we could see through faith glasses? That somehow we put them on and we could see not just chaos, but we see that there's a troubled soul behind the chaos. It might change how we approach people. And again, I'm not saying, you know, we don't need to walk up and get ourselves hurt, but whenever I see somebody that's in trouble, I see somebody that I say, that is a chaotic person, at the very least, I can stop and begin to pray for that person. Because there's power in Jesus. Again, our power is in the Lord, not in ourselves. And so I can begin to pray for that person. And the Lord can make a difference. And at times, just like I preached this morning, the Lord can take someone and through prayer and through burden for that person, the Lord open up an opportunity, a door that we're able to be a blessing to. Even somebody that we might consider a wild person. I know I've seen it in my family at times where I've had some that seem like very wild people, very addicted to drugs and things like that, and the Lord open up doors and be able to talk to them. And the Lord have an effect on them. And so God can do things. Many times we just don't have the faith in God that God can do something. But now you look at this man and Jesus sees that this is a troubled soul and he walks into the chaos and he speaks with him and he helps him. And now you have someone that used to be wild. Someone that used to be crazy. Someone that used to, everybody was scared to death of, but now he's dressed. He's no longer naked. He's clothed. And he's in his wild, he's in his right mind, rather. He's in his right mind. This is not the wild man everybody once knew. He's different. You don't look at him and say, how many times he's been to prison? How many times they've arrested him? How many times we took him? We've bound him. Because Jesus gives him some instruction. He says, I want to go with you, Lord. I want to follow you. And Jesus said, no, I want you to stay here. And I want you to go show all the things that I did for you. And if you read in the other gospel, it says, go and tell. Go show and tell all the things that I've done for you. So people don't just need to hear words. They need to see actions. But they don't just always need to see actions. They need to hear words. And Jesus told him both, go show and tell all the things that I've done for you. There's a woman taken in adultery in the very act. That in itself, I mean, you get to thinking about all the details of that story. And it's a little bit fishy just stopping to think about it. But she's taken in adultery in the very act. And they bring her. I don't think they bothered to try to get her dressed or anything. They just took her and threw her down at Jesus' feet. And said, now, you know what the law tells us about this woman. But what do you say? Jesus didn't even look up. I think there's a reason for that. He didn't even want to look up. He knew what they had done. He knew how she presented before him. Didn't even look up. He's just drawing in the sand. But they keep pressing him, and finally he stands up and he said, you without sin, cast the first stone. And little by little, they all leave and they just go. They're convicted in their own heart. And finally, Jesus speaks to her. He said, where are those thine accusers? Is there none here to condemn thee? None, my Lord. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. A chaotic situation, and Jesus just diffuses it. A lost sinner. And now, she said, He tells her, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. He had compassion on her. Jesus saw a troubled soul, and he helps her. Jesus looks, I know I've mentioned this so many times lately, but Jesus looks down at those that are crucifying him, says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That is such a powerful statement. They know not what they do. When we look into the world and we see chaotic situations, one way we need to see that as a Christian is they know not what they do. It's so easy. We're used to our world being a certain way. We're used to people thinking a certain way. I don't know how many times I've heard this statement. Where in the world has common sense gone? It only takes one generation for people to forget the Lord. And that's about where we are. We're living in a time where so many are forgetting the Lord. Whenever we see chaos, we need to not just get angry, not just want to shield ourselves from that, but rather they know not what they do. This demoniac legion, he just needed some help. This adulterous woman that was cast down at the feet of the Lord, she just needed some help. And the Lord can help. There's not a lot I can do for anybody. I don't have any power in myself, but Jesus saved me. I'm a child of God. I have Christ within my heart. I've got something that needs to be told. I've got something in my life that has changed me in such a way it needs to be seen. Not just told, but it needs to be seen. I need to walk the walk and talk the talk. Do we see opportunity or do we simply see chaos? Because there's no doubt the world's getting darker. Much darker, it seems. But the darker the night, the brighter the light. Let's don't forget that. That we have an opportunity here to let our light so shine before others that, boy, when somebody actually sees the truth, it can catch hold of them. The Lord can make a difference. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Chapter 4, and we're going to hurriedly read all 18 verses. Verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden thing of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded. Don't miss that. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, listen to this, so then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, I know that's a lot of reading. I said I wasn't going to keep you a long time. I still don't intend to. But you look at these things that Jesus, that Paul is calling out. He said darkness. Though we're in darkness. He says, though we're troubled, though we're distressed, though we're perplexed, though we're persecuted, though we're cast down, though we, you know, even death, he mentions death. He says, though the outward man is perishing. When you think of those things as a child of God, it's easy to see these things as chaos. He's talking about some things that are very precious. He's talking about life and death. He's talking about being perplexed, being persecuted, being cast down. These things we look at, so that is chaos. I don't want to get involved in that. And so wisdom says avoid them at all cost. Man's wisdom says avoid these things at all cost. I believe this with all my heart. I believe Paul was a wise man. I believe when he spoke to us here, he spoke the words of God. The perfect, holy word of God. And so he's saying, don't let any of this stuff bother you. It sounds chaotic. He said, but these things come upon us, and we have to face these things in these earthen vessels, these earthly bodies that hurt. Persecution hurts this earthly body. Death, this earthly body, we want to fear death greatly. He said, but don't let these things move you, because when people see you stand, whenever these things should be chaotic to us, and we handle it with faith, that's when our light really shines out. Jesus makes sense of chaos. It's during the darkness that the light shines out. We have this ministry. We should not faint. We cannot be found. He said, don't be found to handle the word deceitfully. A lot of times we want to take the word and twist it up to say what we want it to say. He said, don't handle the word of God deceitfully now. But hear this, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Whenever we see chaos, that's the first thing we need to understand. If my gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. We're responsible for setting the stage. We're responsible for letting our light so shine. We're responsible for seeing opportunity in chaos, as being led by the Spirit of God. The light of Paul, he was such a blessing, wasn't he? Church is established and just he was on fire for Christ. If we'd be like Paul, we'd be something. Paul wanted to be like Jesus. That's what we ought to want to be like Jesus. Whenever I think of Paul, his light, the reason it shined so bright was because Paul went to prison. And he sang praises to God at midnight. His light was so bright because there was times when he was in peril. And he still had faith. There was times whenever his body was bloody. And he still kept the faith. He was in danger. He was snake bitten. Well, his light shined so bright. A snake come out of the firewood, bit him on the finger. He shook it off in the fire and he kept on going. So when he wrote to Timothy and he said, I have fought a good fight, I have kept the faith, he was not joking. Those things are so chaotic. I don't know if anything shake you up like a snake. It didn't even seem to faze him. To live is Christ, to die is gain. That's how he lived. He meant it. Whenever I look at others in Scripture, Stephen, his light, it shines so brightly. But really, it shined brightly while they were killing him. That's when he really stands out. Boy, it's so chaotic. But Christ was glorified in that moment. What I want to try to get across is simply this: fear is a liar. I know there's a song that came out not long ago, fear is a liar. But it is. Fear is a liar. When we say chaos, it makes us want to tense up and back up. The darkest hour, that's when that light really shines through. He left us here as light. We are to be penetrating the darkness. If we're not doing that, we're not doing our job. Don't walk away from the open door whenever the Spirit has led you to that open door. Don't falter when the wind blows. Don't listen to men over God. Tonight you pray for me because things are chaotic at times in the flesh. But I tell you what, whenever we are being led of the Spirit, here's what we know. Jesus can tell the wind, be still, and it listens. That's who we're fighting for. That's who we're working with. That's who works through us. We're Christians. We're to be just like Christ in this world. If we're not like Christ in this world, then what we need to do is say, Lord, help me to be more like you. We ask for something.